Thanks for subscribing to the Calvary Chapel Melbourne podcast. It's our hope and prayer that God will use this message to draw you closer to Jesus. Don't forget to sync your device regularly to get the latest podcasts from Calvary Chapel Melbourne. For more information, log on to calvaryccm.com.
Tonight, well, I'm just going to do something a little different. I want to introduce you tonight to an amazing person. Some of you, in a moment, you know him. Some of you know him, but you really don't know him. You know about him in a knowledge way, but you don't really ever interact with him. Others of you have never met this person in your whole life. And this person is actually one of God's greatest gifts to all of us. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, Jesus, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father basically has promised, which you have heard me, Jesus says, speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to learn about the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, as we go through the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 50 times in the book of Acts. What comes to your mind when I mention Holy Spirit? Many people go through their whole lives. They never really understand the Holy Spirit. They know the name. Maybe you've come from a background, Catholic background, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Or you've been in church enough to understand there is a Holy Spirit. But the real truth is that no Christ follower will ever, ever fulfill God's plan and potential for them unless they have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you three keys to start. Please write them down. Number one, Vieira Sebastian over in Orlando. Jesus himself tells us that the Holy Spirit is one of God's greatest gifts to us. Now, remember what a gift is in a spiritual sense. It's not something we earn, but it's something we simply receive. From Genesis to Revelation, we see that our God is a very generous God. He's a giving God. Look at this verse in Luke 11. If you then, though you are evil, know how much to give what? Good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So one of those amazing gifts is the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other gifts that God gives us. You can't earn it. I can't earn it. The gift of Jesus, our Savior. The gift of God's love and grace. The gift of God's peace. The gift of a brand new life, a brand new start. And of course, the big one, the gift of eternal life. Here's the second key. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's fully God, and he has all the attributes of God. Sometimes people get confused with this power of the Holy Spirit, and they kind of put the Holy Spirit into a categorical box. He's a force. He's a power. Well, neither one of those are true. He is a person. So tonight, we're going to talk about how did Jesus develop this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you will, turn in your book of Acts. You can read that there, or you can watch it on the overhead. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is kind of a summary of Jesus, how his ministry was so successful in life. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, how did Jesus live that lifestyle while he was here on earth? Now, some of you are going to say, well, because he was God. That's not true. He was God on the earth. He was fully God and he was fully man. So R.A. Torrey, great book on the Holy Spirit, says this: Jesus obtained his power for his divine works, not from his inherent divinity. He didn't get that lifestyle of power, ministry, miracles, as we just sang the songs, Waymaker, Healer, all those kind of things. He did that not because he was God, but because his anointing came through the Holy Spirit. R.A. Torrey says this: he was subject to the same conditions of power as other men and other women, speaking about us. So while on the earth, this is important you understand this. While on the earth, Jesus limited his divine power. He didn't operate as God on the earth. He drew his power from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to see why that's very important, because he operated realistically as a human, as a man on the earth, and what he did was from the Holy Spirit in his life, just exactly like we are made, exactly the same way. So how did Jesus begin his ministry so that he would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit? Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. Now, I'm asking you mostly tonight to turn to some scriptures, because you need to see it in the scripture yourself. Not everything will I have on the overhead. So Luke chapter 3, verse 21. This goes back to the start of Jesus. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus, we're talking about water baptism by John the Baptist, was baptized too. And as he was praying while he was in the water, heaven was opened. Verse 22. And the Holy Spirit descended on him. It's a key word. On him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, God himself, saying, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." What did you just see in those two verses? Here it is. You just saw the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're all equal. Now, see, some people, when they see God the Holy Spirit as third, it's, well, God's important, Jesus is second, and the Holy Spirit's third. No, that's not the way God works. That's just the order. They're all co-equal. They're all three God. Now, so the first thing you see in that meaning, as he is being water baptized, when the Holy Spirit comes on him, you have Jesus there. You have God the Father speaking from heaven. That's the second part of the Trinity. And you have the Holy Spirit coming down upon him. So, number one, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So, God sends the Holy Spirit to baptize him, and basically for one reason, to equip Jesus to begin to do ministry. You see, Jesus needed to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit before he actually began his ministry. He is 30 years old. He's lived on this earth for 30 years. And before he could begin his ministry, we understand, as you look through the Bible, you won't find anywhere during those 30 years that Jesus performed any kind of ministry at all, any kind of special powerful thing that the Holy Spirit would do. None of those things were there. There's no record of miracles, healings, deliverance until after Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So you should be able to understand that. See, he's living as a man. Even though he was fully God and fully man, he was living as a man. And if he was going to be in ministry, as we saw the summary of him in Acts chapter 10, he had to be first baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, look at Luke 4. You're right nearby. Luke chapter 4. I'll read it to you, those of you that can't get there. It's just the book right before Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, two before. Look at 4:1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, where he got baptized, and he was led by the Spirit in the desert. So we see two huge things. Number two, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't just baptized in the Holy Spirit as an event. Wonderful, have the Holy Spirit, see you later. No, he remained full of the Holy Spirit. In other words, that word full can be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He would begin a lifestyle, and you'll see over the next few weeks, he always remained full. Do you know why? Because he didn't have a sin nature. We have trouble remaining full because we kind of go into our own strength and want to do things in our own wisdom. It doesn't work at all. So you'll see about that later. So here's what you understand. You'll see, you'll hear me say this over and over again. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is essential. But that's just the start of the Spirit-filled life. So here's Jesus, he's full. So to be Spirit-filled, you and I must be continually controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not a robot. He speaks to us, but we have to submit to the Holy Spirit just like we do God and just like we do Jesus. Now, we will cover more next week and the weeks on as we go through. Why do we have to keep on being filled? Paul talks about that in Ephesians 5. Well, we'll talk about that later. But the first step, of course, is to become a Christian. The second step, as you move through that, as the Spirit comes, is basically to be baptized in the Spirit. Now we see Jesus is full of Spirit. Well, you saw in that same verse, I put it up on the overhead for you, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he was baptized, and he was what? He was led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I just want to say this to you. That is one of the most exciting things in a Christian's life, is being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, to be led by the Holy Spirit, you have to have a relationship with him, and you have to hear him speak. And let me just say this to you tonight. We hear weird stuff. People will say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to say this. You won't find that in the Bible. So if the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something in the Bible, that is not the Holy Spirit. You know why? He wrote the Bible. He isn't going to go against the Bible. He's going to tell you something totally weird off the wall. So being led by the Holy Spirit, to me, that's one of the most exciting things in all the world. He will say to you, here's an open door. We just heard a testimony coming today, Linda and I, from a gal that called in. And I thought this was class. I'll do it very quickly. You okay with that? I'll do it very quickly. Okay. A lady called in, and Calvary Chapel has a website where they answer questions every day during a certain time period. People call in from all over the world. And this lady called in, and she said, I was taking a taxi ride. And the Holy Spirit, I was in the back seat. The Holy Spirit said, you need to talk to that driver. And she said, I'm not talking to the driver. I'm in the back seat. I don't know who the driver is. And as she goes, she was listening to Pastor Chuck's, one of his old tapes. And so she says to the guy says, who is that talking in the back there? She says, well, it's Pastor Chuck who started Calvary Chapels. You know what his topic was? About Mormons. You know who the driver was? So she said, oh, I guess you are right, God. So she turns the volume up. And what she was saying is, God, I won't talk to him now, but when we get to where I'm going, I'll get out of the car and talk to him. I'll know enough to obey you. That was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, oh, no, just turn your radio up. So the guy heard the whole sermon that Friday. I don't know what happened at the end. Is God amazing or what? See, that's being what? Led by the Holy Spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit knew the driver was a Mormon? Of course he did. He's God. He's all-knowing. And she said, I just went, wow, that's amazing. So I just want to challenge you. Being led by the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest things in the world. You know, my opening totally changed this week. I got up one morning at 4:30, and my opening was, I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. He changed everything I was going to do. I've learned pretty much, not always, I learned pretty much to listen to the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly what he's doing. So, look at verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee, up north, in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Why? Because he began to minister. This is the first time he would begin to minister. So number four is Jesus ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now look at this next statement. Vera, Sebastian, look at this. We will see that everything Jesus did on the earth was done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because he was God. It was because he was a man, fully God, fully man, empowered, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the life that we're designed to live exactly the same. We're never going to be God. Thank God. You couldn't be God. And so when you see that happening, you need to understand that. So when you see that verse, the next 3 years, that's all Jesus' ministry was about three and a half years, he ministered supernaturally by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, thousands of lives were changed, healed, demons sent away, all of those things. Now, during those 3.5 years, remember, he called 12 disciples. Jesus never did life alone. He called 12 disciples. He knew his plan. The disciples didn't know that. He started with saying, I'm going to make you fishers of men. We're going to go for the souls of men. Well, the disciples didn't know. They thought, as they began to follow him, that good things were happening. See, they became totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. When they would get up in the morning, they would say to Jesus, where are you going? Where are we going today? Because every day was a different day. Now, who gave Jesus the direction to go every morning? Exactly. The Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Remember when he went to Samaria? One day, Jesus got up and the disciples said to him, where are you going? Oh, we're going to go through Samaria. And the disciples looked at him and said, what's wrong with him? We don't like the Samaritans. They don't like us. This is crazy. Who would he listen to? He wouldn't listen to them. He'd listen to who? The Holy Spirit. And did it work at the hair? Yeah, because one woman came from the well and she went back to town. The whole town got saved. Is that a God plan? That's a God plan. Now, what if he hadn't listened? No, he always listened. He listened to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we haven't done that, and we've missed a great opportunity. That's what God wants to do. So he would comfort them. He would teach them. He would correct them. He would help them learn how to minister to people all those 3.5 years. It was just great. Toward the end of that, Jesus shocked his disciples. And basically, he said to them, you know why I'm here. I'm here to die on the cross. He told them many times. They didn't understand it. And then I'll be resurrected. I'm going to pay for the sins of the world, your sins as well. And then I'm going to be resurrected, and I'm going back to heaven. Well, they hadn't heard much about that. It didn't make sense to them for a while. And all of a sudden, take a look on the overhead. And just before these verses, Jesus does that. He says to the disciples, and they're thinking, well, wait a minute. Every day we get up and you tell us where we're going and we just follow you. It's wonderful. What are we going to do now? So watch what he says. And I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking to his 12 disciples, and he will give you, tell me, another counselor. That word is allos, one of the very same kind. Now, what does that mean? He was 5'7", he was 150 pounds. No, it's not. It's talking spiritually. The Holy Spirit is God. Another one, just like God, all-knowing, all-powerful, anywhere, same time. You got it? So, another counselor to be with you for about 3 weeks. And then you're on your own. Have a nice life. Is that what he says? For how long? I want you to stop. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, how long is he there for? Here's the problem. Let me ask you. You're going to get this all through the sermon because this is what God gave me. When's the last time you talked to him? When's the last time he led you and you said yes? Oh, Pastor Rock, I understand. He's God, third person of the Trinity. Yeah, good. Not good enough. That's not how we do life. We have to listen and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit speaking. You see, if you know somebody, how do you get to know them? You spend time with them. That's one of our big problems for all of us. And you'll see that as I'm going through the teaching. Now, notice, to be with you forever, what kind of a spirit is he? Can you trust the Holy Spirit? Why can you trust the Holy Spirit? Because he's the spirit of what? No, he's the spirit of truth. Well, of course it matches with God. Who do you think wrote the Bible? It's all true because the Holy Spirit did it. Then he says this, the world cannot accept him. Boy, that's getting big. Because he neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. He's talking to his disciples. For he lives with you, alongside you. He's been here with us. The disciples, not Jesus. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him. He was born of the Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. I, Jesus said, will come to you. Now, that's a strange one. He's going to leave and go to heaven. How is he going to come to the disciples? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. I will come to you. So Jesus reassured them that they would never be left alone. The Holy Spirit would come and take his place. In fact, he's going to be just like Jesus. Everything they would do again just like Jesus was. So he was saying to them, you need to have a vibrant personal relationship with the Holy Spirit just like you had with me. Now, it's different because Jesus was walking as a human. And the Holy Spirit would be what? A spirit. But the Holy Spirit was a person as well, just as Jesus was a person. So here's what Jesus was saying. And you need to write this down. I have to live this. I work on it. It's hard sometimes. The Holy Spirit is a person we can relate to, communicate with, and know personally. He was sent to live in us and then to empower us. And that personal communication has to be ongoing as if we can't do life without the Holy Spirit. That's actually true. That's actually true. So most unbelievers, what I just wrote there, and many Christ followers do not understand the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. May the force be with you. Not a chance. He is a person. And Jesus is saying, just as I walked with you for the last 3 years, we went here and there, whatever situation you came in your life, I taught you, I corrected you, I helped you, I did all these things. Sometimes I just laughed with you. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to take care of you in exactly the same way. He's going to do everything I did just as you've experienced the last 3.5 years. Now, we'll talk later. There's another benefit to the Holy Spirit coming. I'll just give you a clue real quick. Jesus says, when I leave, you'll do greater things to the disciples than you can ever imagine. And we'll unpack that. You'll see how that works. So here's what I want you to write down tonight. You're a Christian. If you're a Christian, write this down. The Holy Spirit sees, knows, and will help us in the details of our lives. I mean the details of our lives. The disciples ask crazy questions sometimes. Jesus had to correct them. But other times they'd ask and he said, no, that's not how it works. I'll tell you how it works. Just trust me. It's going to be okay. in every kind of detail of their life. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. So, see, God didn't design us. Jesus didn't walk away and say, well, you've had 3 years of training. Man, great Bible school, eh? Fantastic. I'm the great teacher. Have a nice life. No, we were never designed to do that. We were designed to do life with people and with God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So to calm his fears in that verse, he begins something to put it into our mind again. Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not impersonal. He is a person who wants to have a relationship with us. So he gives us three different relationships. Look back at verse 14, chapter John 14, verse 17 again. Look at that. Look in your Bibles. Jesus says, you know him because the Holy Spirit lives with you. So here's three relationships I want you to write down. You want to experience all three of these relationships. All three. Number one, convicted by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he says he lives with you. Now, that word convicted is two ways. And let me explain the first one. In John 16:8, I'll read it to you. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. So before a person becomes a Christian, see, many people think this, and I've said it quite often because the Bible teaches this. You can't come to Christ when you want to. You have to be spoken to by God. This is the day. This is your day of salvation. And God does that through the Holy Spirit who convicts you, and he opens your eyes and goes, whoa, the thing that's keeping me from becoming a Christian and going to heaven is my sin. I thought I could be good enough. No, your sin. And so the Holy Spirit is with us. He's alongside us. He convicts an unbeliever of their own sin and lack of being right with God. That puts in a person, and some of you that I'm speaking to tonight, some of the students from the 7th to 12th grade I spoke to this morning, many understood that the Holy Spirit was speaking right to them. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I'm going to do two things at the end so you know that. It'll happen when we get there. So when that conviction comes that I'm not right with God, even though I don't totally understand all that as an unbeliever, it brings a sense of guilt and wrongdoing. And that conviction causes unbelievers to go, uh-oh, I need to get right with God. I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, another amazing gift we get is salvation. So think about that. Now, when that person is convicted, they can either say what? Yes or no. You can hurt the Holy Spirit in many ways. We'll talk about that as we go through the whole book of Acts. Just many ways. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit knows all of those things. Now think about this. Can any of you, let's say the Holy Spirit is not personal. He's not a person. Can you grieve this podium? You bad podium. They take you right to the hospital. We send the hospital team to pray for you. Can you grieve the Holy Spirit? How often do we grieve the Holy Spirit? More than we want to know. The Holy Spirit is always talking. Quite often, we're not listening. How long would your marriage work if that was true? You see, it's personal. So you'll see tonight that what happened. When that first step takes place, the next part of verse 17 says, when you give your life to God, you're convicted. Then look at verse 2 on the overhead, 17. And the Holy Spirit will be in you. That means relationship number 2, you see it right on the overhead. Indwelt, watch it, he's going to be indwelt in you. Scoot on past that one if you will. Just go to the next line. Relationship number 2, you'll see it in a sec, they'll get there. That means basically, there it is, great. Indwelt by the Spirit. In other words, what does indwelt mean? The moment you accept Christ, who comes to live inside of you? The Holy Spirit. Are you glad he's a person and not a thing? He's a person. He lives in you. Now, here's what you need to understand. As we go through, there, you'll see the third role. We believe there's a separate, distinct event, which means the Holy Spirit's going to come on us. So you need to understand this. Every, and this, I use this word for a reason. Every real Christ follower has the Holy Spirit living in them. If you're a real Christian, what do I mean by that? Remember the whole parable of Jesus in Mark chapter 4? Four people supposedly came to Christ. How many really came to Christ? One. They started well. They never finished. That's a danger. So every real Christ follower has the Holy Spirit living in them. Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Calvary Chapel, Africa. Some countries don't even have a denomination. They just ask Christ to come into their heart. If they sin and ask God to forgive them and he came to live in them, are they a real Christian? Do they have the Holy Spirit in them? Yes, they do. So don't go to people, well, you don't speak in tongues or whatever else you want to use. Then you're not. So, there's some people that teach that. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not a Christian. That's foolishness. Let me say it again. That's foolishness. That's condemnation. That's not from God. So the second step is he comes to live in us. Now, when he comes to live in us, it's an inward work. Just write that right next to the note. It's an inward work. He's changing us to be like Jesus. You'll see the last of the personal relationships, it's about outward. It's going to the world. So here, it's inward. We actually become the temples of God. You remember in the Old Testament, people were people, and they had to go to the temple to worship God. You have, I have, if you're Christ, a real Christ follower, you have Christ in you. You're a temple of God. Now, and he begins to conform us, Romans 8, to the image and the character of Jesus. Let me read 1 Corinthians 6 to you. Paul wrote this. Interesting how Paul writes this. Don't you realize? Now, why would somebody write, don't you realize? Because they don't know. Here it is. Don't you realize that your body, he's talking to real Christians, Christ followers, is the temple of the Holy Spirit, listen, who lives in you and was given to you by God. So one of God's gifts, did you earn it? No, you what? You received it because it's a gift. How did you receive it? Just like you do your salvation. You can't earn it. You receive the gift. Now, most people don't like the last part of this verse, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says this, you do not belong to yourself. Well, that's biblical. I'm to put who first? Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we're robots. It means that God should come first in our life. I have God living in me. The disciples always tried to, even though they failed just like we do, they tried to put Jesus first. They followed him. That's what we need to do. Now, sometimes we don't understand, and I don't have time to go into this in depth, but I want you to see this. Don't try to write it. What are some of the benefits when the Holy Spirit moves into you? What are some of the benefits? Well, take a look. The Holy Spirit gives assurance that we're saved. Ever wonder if you're saved? Don't look at me like, never. We've all been there. I wonder if I'm really a Christian. Well, the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, confirming that we are his. That's an assurance that's wonderful. Number two, he comforts us. Notice what word Jesus used? Paraclete, another comforter like Jesus was. See, the real comforter is not people. Pastors, you, home group leaders, all those things, parents, when somebody happens, we're comforters. That's wonderful. It's good. But the real comforter in all the mess and stuff of life we have is the Holy Spirit. Number three, he teaches, enlightens, and reminds us of the Word. He's the teacher. I'm not teaching tonight. You know, this week, I will have taught five times. Wednesday, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, second service as well. I'm not the teacher. Holy Spirit's the teacher. I'm just a person speaking to you, His word. That's why I need the anointing. I want to be on the same page as the Holy Spirit is. I don't want to be saying my stuff. That's ridiculous. Now, next, He helps us to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Difficult situations. God, what do I do here? He knows. He's all wise. Next, He guides and directs. We already talked about that. You and I cannot do. I was looking this morning. Linda and I were looking yesterday. Where is this youth camp in Vero Beach I'm supposed to teach this morning? Never heard of it. Where am I going? Thank you, Jesus, for Google. But Google isn't saving, either is Alexa. But we got a map and we went somewhere. See, you can't put that in your life. Alexa, tell me what I should do the rest of my life. Don't even listen to that. The Holy Spirit conforms us to be like Christ by liberating us from the power of sin. You see, the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings is normally for unbelievers, but very often He uses it for believers. When we get ready to do something, look at something or say something or whatever, the Holy Spirit can say to us, no. Ever say that to your dog? No. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit was saying. You ever heard the Holy Spirit say that to you? Turn it off. Quit saying that. Am I right? Well, what's that? Conviction. He's not condemning us. He's trying to make us like Jesus. So we have the power, Romans 6, 7, and 8 says, I have the power with God in me to say no to the temptations. That's huge. It's not a theory. It's what we practice. Now, turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and I'll read it to you, chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. Now, this verse is written after Jesus' resurrection. He comes back to the disciples, and He speaks to His disciples. He's risen from the dead, and it goes like this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, watch this, I'm sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit had been with them, but the Holy Spirit had never gone into them. And this is their salvation, because Jesus had not yet gone to the cross to pay for the sins of the disciples. So this is after His death, burial, and resurrection. And He says to them, receive it. Now, when Jesus says, receive the Holy Spirit, do you think that the Holy Spirit would be received? Of course. And that is their salvation experience. They realize at the moment that happened, the Holy Spirit came to live in them. Now, let me read you Luke 24. This is in the same kind of sequence as we go through. Jesus said, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, here's what you're going to think, and we know this. The disciples go, wow, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is fantastic. And we've been with Him 3.5 years. I got like a PhD in Jesus. I'm ready to go. You know who would have said that first? Peter, exactly. I'm ready to go. I'll start tomorrow morning. Thank you, Jesus. Bye. Go to heaven. Have a nice time. But you know what happened? What did Jesus say? No, you're not ready yet. He said, I know you have knowledge. I know you have the Holy Spirit living in you, but you're not ready yet. And so he introduces to us the third relationship. Here it is. I'll send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke 24, 40, upon you. Here's a third relationship. Write it down. The third relationship with the Holy Spirit, because He's a person, is empowered by the Holy Spirit. That word means upon, a P in the original language, a P, upon or overflows you. Overflows you. Notice Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. Is that what it says? What's it say? On you. Comes on you. Overflows you. When Jesus was in the water, being baptized, did the Holy Spirit come in him? No, because he already had the Holy Spirit when he was born. He was born by the Spirit. How did the dove picture? It came what? On him. It overflowed him. That's where his power came from. So notice, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Third experience. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. We'll talk more about that later. Many people think that the empowering of the Holy Spirit is for gifts and do all that. It is. But that's not the main thing. You'll see that as we go through. Here's what Jesus is saying to them. You're not ready yet. Well, what do you mean we're not ready? We have the Holy Spirit. You just breathed in us. We got the Holy Spirit in us. That's it. He said, no, there's one more thing. You remember what I had, you have to have. Can I say that to you tonight? What Jesus had to have, baptized, full, led, you have to have exactly the same thing in your life if you want to be like Jesus. I can't minister without those. And that's what he was saying to his disciples. Now, he says, in a few days, you'll need this overflowing power of your spirit before you can change your world. That's just it. That's the truth, he's saying. The essence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit is when a person who is already a believer receives the extraordinary spiritual power to go and change their world. That word power simply means this. Our word for it, it's a strange word, is dunamis. It's dynamite. In other words, it's real power. It will change things. Here's the key. The power from above that Jesus says coming to you, it's God's power, is beyond our ability. I don't care what weight you lift. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. The ability of man is never equal to the power of God. Can't ever be. So that power is a power to work, power in action. That's what it does. So remember, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in us at salvation, what kind of work is it? It's inward. He's changing us in our character, in our nature, to be like Jesus. Now look at this one. The baptism with the Spirit is an outward work, equipping every believer to do the ministry of Jesus. That outward work is the witnessing. It's going to the world, power to be bold, not craft or whatever, saying to people things that make them feel bad and they feel terrible. No, never like that. But it's a boldness to stand for and speak about God. Now, here's what you know, and this will happen later. I don't have time for it tonight. The baptism with the Spirit, you see, we believe that this one-time baptism, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes in you, leads to a lifestyle called the Spirit-filled life. So when you're a Christian, you already have, does every Christian have the Holy Spirit in them? Every? Really? Yeah, exactly right, if you're a real Christian. Then the next thing we believe, there's a distinct experience, as you just see here, of being baptized. So now I not only have the Holy Spirit in me, but I have the boldness. I have the Spirit of God, the power of God overflowing my life. And it begins to be used to change the world for Jesus Christ. It's not an inward work. It's really an outward work. So you see that. And so when that baptism happens, even that baptism that Peter and John and all 120 people are going to receive, that's just the start to the Spirit-filled life. Now, why? Because we often, you'll see as we go through, we don't remain filled. We leak. Spiritually, we leak because we go back to leading ourselves. Listen to R.A. Torrey, the same person I gave you earlier. R.A. Torrey says this, a man may be regenerated by the Holy Spirit and still not be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, it's not just an event. Well, I got filled with the Spirit. That's it. I'm all set for heaven now, saved. He lives in me. Going to heaven. No. The power of the Spirit is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Spirit-filled life. So unless we are baptized, filled, and minister in the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I will never accomplish what God wants. So God doesn't want us just to live a saved life. That's a big thing. Listen. Pastor Mark, I'm saved. I love serving God. Good. Are you serving in your power or his power? When is the last time you had a conversation with the Holy Spirit? Many years ago, someone wrote, didn't care for the person, but I liked the title. Good morning, Holy Spirit. You know why I like the title? What do you think the disciples said every day that they were with Jesus 3.5 years? Good morning, Jesus. Where are we going today? Well, I don't like that. I'm not going to follow you today. Now, they may have said that. What would Jesus say? Here we go. Am I right? When is the last time you said in the morning, good morning, Holy Spirit? Pastor Mark, that's weird. No, that's godly. He's a person. He lives in you. And he lives in me. And that's why we live under what God wants us to do in our lives. Now, this evening I'm going to do two things. Today we learned that God is a giving father who loves to give good gifts to his kids. Can I hear an amen on that one? You know that. We talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he convicts us of our need to be forgiven, of our sins, so we could be born again. Some of you listening to me here, Vera, Sebastian, online, you've never, ever asked the Holy Spirit to help you become a Christian by repenting of your sins. I believe, and this is what we're praying for, talked to Dave earlier, we're praying this weekend that many of you in your seats are sensing that the Holy Spirit said, hey, it's time to get right to God. It's time to get right with God. It's time to admit you're a sinner and receive God's gift of salvation. Remember, a gift can't be earned. It's received. So we're going to do two things. I'm going to pray first with our heads bowed at all our campuses. For those of you that would say, Pastor Mark, I'm ready. God did speak to me. I don't really understand that. But I know if I died tonight, I'm not going to heaven. I'm a good person. I didn't know I couldn't earn it. You mean I have to actually receive it? Yeah, here's what the Bible says. Look at this last verse. Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, I'll do that when I'm ready. Anytime that I'm ready. Wrong. You can't come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit convicts you. You're not in charge. God wants you to come, but he wants you to come for the right reason. I'm going to do that first. Then second, I'm going to pray for us, all of us, about the Holy Spirit tonight. Okay? So bow your heads with me, all our campuses. Father, right now, I'm going to take 30 seconds to do this. If you're here at any of our campuses right now, by the way, if you're watching online, you can basically call a phone number. And there will be a person on the other end of the line. Last weekend, we had people calling like crazy, getting saved, getting back with God. If that's you this morning, excuse me, this evening, saying, I have heard God speak to me. I'm not right with God. Or I used to be right with God, but I walked away. Well, that's the same Holy Spirit saying, whoa, you need to get back and put God first. If that's you, here's what I want you to do at every campus right now. Heads are bowed. Christians, you're praying. I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor Mark, I want to admit that tonight, and I want to become a Christian. That's all I'm asking you to do at every campus. I give you 30 seconds to raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm waiting for you. Be honest with God. That's me, Pastor Mark. Sebastian, Vieira, here in Melbourne at the Correctional Institute. Remember, if God's spoken to you, you have the right to say yes or no. If you have walked away from God and you didn't make a recommitment, you're in that same altar call. Anyone? Why don't you just raise your hand and say, I've heard the truth. Would you just boldly raise your hand? Remember, publicly, other people aren't watching, but the Holy Spirit's watching. Thank you. Others, right now, at our campuses, any of our campuses, you can leave tonight changed, but you have to say to the Holy Spirit, you're right, thank you. I need to get back with God, or I need to accept the Lord for the very first time tonight. Anyone else? 10 more seconds, and I'm done. At all the campuses, Vieira, Sebastian, be honest. God's speaking to you at any of the campuses. He knows exactly what your heart is. He sent his son to die for you. 10 more seconds, that's it. Nobody will ever force you. You have to come to the Lord yourself. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. Last call for you. All right, if you raised your hand, here's what I want you to do. Keep your eyes closed. Thank you. Keep your eyes closed, except those who raised your hand. Look at me from all the campuses. Just look at me. At the end of the service, I want you to walk up to your pastor. See, you openly say, at Vieira, at Sebastian, in Orlando, same thing. You just walk up to the pastor and say, I'll be over here down here. Pastor Dave and Pastor TJ will be down front. Pastor Norm over in Orlando, you know where he is right now at the Correctional Institute. Just walk down and say, I became a Christian. The Holy Spirit talked to me. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. That's what I want you to say. God came in me tonight. He forgave me of my sins. So just walk up, talk to me. Same thing at all your campuses. All right. Now, I want everybody, just before we switch to the other campuses, I want everybody to look at me. I want you to be very honest. Everybody look at me. You say, well, Pastor Mark, while I listen to this teaching, I need to ask God to help me to have more of an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. I need all those blessings. I'm Christian. I'm serving God. But when you introduce the Holy Spirit to me, I really don't know him too well. Or I've ignored him. Here's what I want you to do at every campus. Don't you look around. I don't want anybody standing because they see somebody else stand. I'm just going to pray over us. By the way, guess who's standing? I'm serious. I'm serious. We've been praying for a revival. The revival starts with an individual who admits, I need more of God. That's all of us, really. So if you say, Pastor Mark, I need to have a better relationship with the Holy Spirit. I admit it. I want you just to stand at our campuses, wherever you're at right now. You know, when you see this, you know who's at work? God, the Holy Spirit. Father, we have to confess we've all been guilty. We love you. We love your son. But sometimes we ignore the Holy Spirit. Impossible since he's living in us, but we do. So I just thank you for honest people at all of our campuses tonight. That we will begin a more intimate relationship with God the Holy Spirit who lives in us. And as we work through this, we're never going to be perfect. But we want to have a more intimate, not knowledge of the Holy Spirit, but experience with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your loving will, your loving patience with us. And I pray for every single one of us that are standing tonight that this will be a night that we will remember. And you promise that you bring these truths back to us. That's one of the things you are, the Spirit of Truth. You will teach us. You'll remind us of what we learned tonight as we introduce ourselves, all of us, to the person of the Holy Spirit so that we can be filled and begin doing even more the work of God in changing our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how God used his word today to continue to change and shape you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. send us an email at mail@calvaryccm.com or call us toll free at 866-779-3441. And don't forget to listen to the next podcast in this series. Until next time, may God bless you, and together, let's do life right.